while they're receiving the offering, we want to welcome those of you online. Good morning, church family. We know some of you, praise God, are watching online. And we also want to welcome all of our friends, our neighbors. Hallelujah. Praise God. Reminded me when I was in children's church, because my first name's Roger, we used to do Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Hallelujah. And I would come in and I would take off my jacket. I would put on a sweater. I would change my shoes in front of the boys and girls. Hallelujah. And we would just have a wonderful time. I'd sing, "It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood." You know why? Because Jesus is in the neighborhood this morning. And I'd say, "Boys and girls, can you say, new creature?" I said, "I knew you could." Oh, we had such a wonderful time. Hallelujah. They're all grown up now. Hallelujah. Living life, fulfilling the will of God. Amen. I'm telling you right now, the seed is incorruptible. I want to encourage you, those of you watching, I don't care where your kids are, where they're at. Glory to God. If they've heard the gospel, if they've heard about Jesus, they've heard the word of God. He is the word. He's the living word. Just like he's incorruptible, his words are incorruptible. They're spirit and life. And they live and they abide forever. And no matter where your children go, where they are, that seed's on the inside of them. You may think, "Oh Lord, oh God, is there any help? Is there any hope?" All it takes is a little water. All it takes is a little water. You know, Paul said, "I planted and Apollos watered." Well, how did he water? Through words. Something was said. Something was spoken. I don't care where they are. God can use anybody. That's why we pray for laborers of the harvest to go and come before people. Because how pleasant, how wonderful is a word spoken in due season. I'm talking about just a statement, a word. Didn't say an essay. Just said a word. It's incorruptible. It lives and abides forever. And God gets the increase. Oh, hallelujah. That's why we open up our hearts this morning to his words. Because they are incorruptible. It's an incorruptible seed. And we plant it in our heart. You know, your heart is designed for his word. Hallelujah. And I believe you're good ground this morning. Amen. Well, you got your Bibles? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. We've been talking about the spirit within and the spirit upon. Praise God. I'm not going to go back because we've always went back and looked at scriptures, and I don't want to get bogged down. I want to cover what I need to cover this morning. But we talked about how Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples, and he said, "I'm going to go to the Father, and I'm going to pray that he would give you another comforter, that he will abide with you forever. And not only will he be with you, but he shall be in you." Okay? So we've been talking about the spirit within and the spirit upon. The spirit within and the spirit upon. Jesus referred to this to the woman at the well. He said, the water that I will give you will be a well in you, springing up to everlasting or eternal life. And then he talked on the great day of the feast, where he stood up and cried out. He said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And he talked about the Spirit of God, which was not yet given. So we know there's a difference between a well and a river. The well is for your own personal benefit that you can draw from. The Spirit of God in you. We're talking about the Holy Ghost. We're talking about the third person of the Godhead living on the inside of you. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, he said, "What? Know you not? Don't you know that your body is the temple?" You know, in the old covenant, God had them to build a temple, build a tabernacle where he could dwell. You You know that things had to be done just right. And if anybody approached that tabernacle in a wrong manner, in a wrong way, you're toast. Even if the high priest did it wrong, he's toast. The power and the glory and the holiness of God dwelling in that tabernacle made with human hands. Your physical address, you know, I'm sure most of you live in an apartment or a home. Your home is where you dwell. That's your dwelling place. And Paul said this to the church at Corinth. He said, what? Know you not? Don't you know that the Spirit of God lives in you, dwells in you? You now are the dwelling place of the Spirit of God, the presence of God. And He's in there to help you. He's called the Comforter. He's called the Helper, the Paraclete. He's a helper, a counselor, and a comforter, an advocate, an intercessor, a strengthener, and a standby. The greatest thing going, the one who knows all things and even knows the future, lives at your address. What address? I'm talking about your physical body. Your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost, and God dwells in you. And He dwells in you with purpose. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Yes, so that we could, so that we might receive the blessing of Abraham. But He also did it so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. God likes hanging out with you. He likes living in you. He said, I'll be your God. I'll walk in you. I'll be your God. You'll be my people. I'll walk in you. Are we conscious when we're walking, when we're going? Are we conscious of the Spirit of God, greater than anything in this universe, the one who hovered over the face of the deep at the beginning of creation? We're not talking about a different spirit. We're not talking about something else. We're talking about the same Spirit. Also, He's the same Spirit. He's the same glory that raised Jesus from the dead. And now, He lives in your body. Because your body houses you. You're a spirit man. There's too many people that go through life and they live out of their head. They live out of their soul. They just go by what they think and what they reason. And they just go by what the outward and the flesh and their senses feed them, the information that it feeds them. Oh, but there's something greater. That there's one who lives on the inside of us who knows all things. Knows you and me better than we know ourselves. You remember the psalmist prophesied about this in Psalm 100. He said, for it's the Lord that has made us and not we ourselves. We are the sheep of His pasture. We didn't make us. He made us. He created us in His image and in His likeness. God is a spirit, John 4:24. You're a spirit being. And that's where you need to live out of, is your spirit man. We need to be more conscious of our spirit man and the one who lives in our spirit. The reason He lives in our bodies is because you, the real person, live inside this house, this temple. But He lives in you. He's become one with your spirit now. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that has joined himself unto the Lord has become one spirit. Other translation says, a single spirit, not plural. That's why we need to pay attention. You know, when we read the scripture in Proverbs where it says, in all of our ways acknowledge him, see? Right before that it says we're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our understanding. This up here. No, we got to get this transformed. We got to get this saved. You remember James wrote to Christians, to brethren. And he called them brethren. He didn't call them heathen. He said brethren. Receive the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. They were already born again. But he talked about their souls being saved. You know, most of the time people just refer to man as a two-part being. They're just a body and a soul. That's why you hear songs, secular songs in the world. Body and soul. There's a popular song, well-known song, that's called Body and Soul. But you're more than just a body and a soul. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. What becomes a new creature? What becomes brand new that's passed away and something's become new? It's your spirit. You don't get a new body when you get born again. Now, we're going to get a new glorified body. We got the down payment on it. We got the earnest. And you know what? You don't get a new mind when you get born again. That's why you have to get it transformed and renewed and saved. And you do that through the Word of God. And the Spirit and the Word agree. And they work together. Just like I said earlier, the Spirit of God was on the face of the deep. What was He waiting for? What was He waiting for? He was waiting for words. He was waiting for God to speak. Because when words go forth, I'm talking about God's words, He gets involved. Oh, hallelujah. You know what? It hasn't changed. It's the same right now. Hallelujah. Ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's get into this. Are you believing God with me? Hey, guys, can I hear some amens online? Hallelujah. Don't make me start preaching, yes, Brother Roger, amen, hallelujah. All right, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, praise the Lord. Here we go. He said, verse 9, I'm going to condense this because I was wanting to back up to verse 1 and come through, but we'll never get through this if I do that. Verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Most of my life, for many years, when I was in church, if I ever heard this, I recall back when I was a teenager before I got away from the Lord, and even since then I've heard ministers and preachers speak on this before, and they'll say, well, you know, brother, eye has not seen, nor ear heard. It's not entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for him. And then they stop right there. They stop right there. But we need to read the next verse. Matter of fact, we need to read the next couple of verses. Notice what verse 10 says. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. What's them? It's the things that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. The things that God has prepared and made ready for them that love Him. See, God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that, or so that, we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, the carnal man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I'm going to stop right there. Now we see here in the Word of God that there are things that God has prepared for us, made ready for us, things that God wants to show us, reveal to us, make known to us. And these are things that eye has not seen nor ear heard. Let me say it to you like this. A lot of people, and even Christians, and it's sad to say that too many Christians are being influenced, make decisions by what their eyes see and their ears hear. They don't walk by faith and not by sight. A lot of people are walking by sight and not by faith. And they're going by what their eyes are seeing and what their ears are hearing. And they look at things, like I said earlier, listen, they look at things online, they look at television, they listen to things, they're listening to things with their ears. It's getting into their soul, getting into their heart. And it has nothing to do with what the Spirit of God wants to reveal and make known to you. Matter of fact, a lot of these things are contrary. You remember, we talked about recently, over in the book of Jude, where Jude wrote that in the last days, there'd be mockers. A lot of these things would be taking place that we see around us. And what he said was, he said, these are people who are sensual and have not the Spirit. But see, God sent the Holy Ghost to us. God sent His Spirit to live on the inside of us. And the Spirit of God wants to, for us to acknowledge Him and to look inwardly and to listen inwardly, not allow the outwardly to affect us. See, the Spirit of God searches all things. Yes, even the deep things of God. That tells me that there's things that a lot of people just sort of, things are on the surface, just at the top of things. It's very easy to get to. But there's more. There's more than just what's on the surface. The Spirit of God searches all things, even the deep things of God. And I'm talking about things that eye has not even seen, nor ear heard, hasn't even touched your thought life yet. I remember 1997, we were in a church in Birmingham, and Joe Morris, Joe Morris, right in the middle of his service, he just stopped. He said, "Roger and Dana, stand up." Dana's mother was with us in that service. She was visiting with us, came over, and we stood up. I'm like, you know, what in the world, you know? And so he began to minister to us. And one of the things he said was this. I've still got it. He said one of the things, and it was several things he mentioned, but one of the things he said was this. He said, "You're on a pathway right now, but there's things in your future that hasn't even entered into your thought realm that God will bring forth." He said, "You're on a pathway now." He said, "You're going to be on a completely different pathway than you are right now." That was 97. We stayed in that church until 2005. We're talking about 8 more years. You know, that's why we can't lean to our own understanding. That's why we have to get out of our head and look to the inward. You know, it says right here, what things, look at this. Verse 11, "For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him?" Do you know your spirit knows things? Proverbs 20:27 says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." Let me couple that with this scripture right here. The spirit of man is the camp or the lamp. The word the candle of the Lord is the margin says lamp of the Lord. Your spirit is where God's going to contact you and show you things and speak to you and reveal things to you. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. That's where God's going to bring light. That's where you're going to be able to see things and know things, is the spirit of man. It says right here, "What things knows a man to save the spirit of man, or except the spirit of man which is in him?" See, even the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. But see, God has given us His Spirit. Where does He live? In your spirit. That's why Romans 8:16 says the Holy Spirit's going to bear witness with your spirit. He's not going to bear witness with your mind. I want to say that again. The Holy Spirit is not going to bear witness with your mind, with your soul. And so many people live out of their soul, live out of the emotions. The things of the outward, what their eyes are seeing, what they're hearing, is feeding their eye gate and their ear gate. And if you ain't got your mind transformed and renewed to the Word of God, so that your soul will get in agreement with your spirit and you can live out of your spirit, and you can allow what's down in your heart to really guide you, influence you, witness to you. Because your spirit knows things. Your head don't. And the reason your head don't is because that's not where the Spirit of God is dwelling. And the Spirit of God, which knows all things, even the deep things of God, and even the future, He lives in your spirit, and that's the part of you that God's going to use to communicate to you, your spirit. And the Spirit's going to give you the peace and the assurance and the witness and the green light and what seems good and what is the peace of God. It's going to be down in here in the core of your being. The spirit of man, or the heart of man, is the candle of the Lord. That's what the Lord is going to use. That's where the Holy Ghost lives. He don't live in your head. Now, listen, He lives in our body in the sense that our body houses our spirit man. Now, He can quicken your leg or your kneecap or your big toe or your kidneys or your heart. But really, technically speaking, He don't live in your elbow. He don't live in your kneecap. And He don't live in your mind. He lives in your spirit. See, the natural man, the carnal mind, the mind that's not transformed and renewed, thinks this is foolish. Doesn't even understand what I'm talking about, according to the Bible. I'm telling you, let me say it like this. The reason I'm saying these things or telling you these things is because in the day that we live, in the time that we live, Jude talks about in the last days, things will be going on, and people will be sensual. They'll be sense-ruled. They'll be going by what their eyes see, what their ears are listening to, and they don't have the Spirit. They're not being led by the Spirit. They're not following the Spirit. But we're going to have to be led by the Spirit in these last days, folks. We're going to have to be more conscious and be listening on the inside of us. And we're going to have to get our mind quiet. Because, listen, all of us deal with thoughts. And sometimes thoughts will come at us like a machine gun. You know, the Ephesians chapter 6 even talks about fiery darts. Sometimes you think you feel a certain way or you think a certain way. And if you really rightly divide that, that's really not you. You think it's you, but it's not you. It's Ephesians chapter 6. There's a scheme and a plot from your adversary that's come against your life and against your mind. And those thoughts are not even you. You think you feel that way. Well, I just feel this way. This is the way I feel about it. I've had people say that out of their mouth. This is the way I feel about it. I'll just tell you the way I feel about it. They don't recognize that's not even them. It's really a scheme and a fiery dart that's come. They've opened up their heart and soul to that. And they think it's them and it's the devil. And they don't even recognize. They think that's just the way they feel. God has given us His Spirit that we can know things beyond what just our physical senses, what I see, what I sees, or what ear may hear. He knows all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's why I said, even if you go, listen, there's nothing wrong with prayer and agreement and getting agreement with people. The Bible tells us to agree. If any two of you shall agree as touching anything they ask. We pray together. We pray one with another, the Bible says. But there's a difference in that than leaning to the arm of the flesh and trusting in man. And a lot of people go to men first. We talked about this Wednesday night. We're to acknowledge God. The Bible even says when we get in distress, we are to call upon the Lord, not look to people. What happens is people even go to people, and good people, and even sometimes people are very educated. We feel like they know more than we know in that area. And I'm not saying we can't talk with people about things. Okay? I'm not saying you can't do that. But really, when that is all said and done, that is not enough. You can't depend upon that. You're going to have to still listen and follow your heart and your spirit. And the reason I say that, even as educated as their minds are, and even though they may know more than you, they do not know the future. They only know what their eyes have seen and their ears have heard. But see, we got something greater. We got something that lives on the inside of us that knows all things and searches all things and knows the deep things. I'm not talking about things just on the surface. I'm talking about the deep things of God. Knows what's ahead 3 years from now, 6 years from now. And he can lead you today and position you even at this moment and set you totally up for 6 years from now, 10 years from now, 3 months from now, 3 days from now. Tomorrow. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Go with me to 1 John chapter 2. Is this all right? Are you sure? Well, it better be, because it's all I've got. Such as I have, give I thee this morning. I'm telling you, it better be okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's look at another scripture here. In context, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 says, little children, it is the last time. How many believe we're in the last time? Oh, glory to God, listen. As one minister I used to listen to years ago, he'd say this. He said, a 12-year-old kid with one eye and half sense can recognize and realize. If you have any spiritual sensitivity to you at all, of course, we have the scriptures on it. I mean, we have road signs. I mean, we've had Joe in here teaching on end times and things, but even now, we're seeing things. Paul talked about it in 2 Timothy chapter 3, perilous times, people being unthankful, disrespectful, disobedient, not won't submit to authority. I mean, these things have always happened throughout time, but not like it is now. See, when you see it so rampant and so blatant, and so in your face, and if you don't celebrate and do it, I mean, you're like... And the scripture tells us in the end that people will call evil good and good evil. And it's before our very eyes. And yet, we see here, John writing, by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he said, little children, it is the last time, and you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Well, we know that the Antichrist will show up in the tribulation, the great tribulation. We know that. I'm talking about where Satan enters into a man. I'm not talking about a demon spirit like the madman of Gadara. I'm not talking about Mary Magdalene who had seven demon spirits on the inside of her that Jesus cast out. I'm talking about Satan himself. That's a different ball game, folks. But we know that's going to take place. But look what he says right here. Even now, are there many antichrist, plural, whereby we know that it is the last time? They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now look at verse 20. But ye have an unction. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father, listen to this, and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father. Now a little side note here. Let me tell you what the spirit of Antichrist is. people that want to talk about God, I'm talking about, I don't care if you hear it on the news, I don't care if you hear it at the Country Music Awards, the Academy Awards, the MTV Awards, any kind of awards where you want to hear people stand up and talk about the man upstairs, and they want to talk about God, and even you'll see talk show hosts talk about there's many ways to God, it's the same God, there's just many ways. Listen, if Jesus is not in the conversation, you don't have the true Father. You're not even fellowshipping with the God you think you're fellowshipping with. If Jesus is not in your mouth or in somebody else's mouth when it relates to God, it's a spirit of Antichrist. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. It's the truth, guys. I didn't write this. You know, who's a liar? There's a lot of liars out there. See, the Antichrist spirit is in this world right now. And people are yielding to it and being influenced by it. And I'm telling you, it is, listen, you'd be surprised how many Christians are gullible and just swallow anything hook, line, and sinker and listen to things out there. And all of a sudden, well, that sounds pretty good. I mean, I can see where I can sort of see where that, you know, yeah, I can agree. He is an Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. And look at this. Whosoever denies the Son, that person does not have the Father. That's a strong statement. But that's not my message this morning. But there's something here that we can understand and know in context of the Scripture. He said, verse 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Do you know there's a lot of seducing spirits out there? Now, let me say something to you. When somebody's seduced, they're seduced. I mean, we've seen men seduce women. I've seen women seduce men. And I'm talking about, listen, other people can see it and other people can notice it, but, I mean, they don't see it. When they're in that moment and that spirit is seducing them, they're being seduced. And everybody else can try to tell them, cry, beg, plead. But for whatever, they're in darkness, they're blinded. And so many people are walking around carnal-minded. They're not acknowledging. They're not conscious and aware of God on the inside of them or the Spirit of God. Now, we know people who are not born again, they don't have God living on the inside of them. But I'm talking about people that are born again. They're influenced, and there's spirits out there. Paul said there's many voices in the world. Many. None without signification. 1 John tells us, if we go over a couple of chapters, he said we need to try the spirits, because every spirit's not of God. Then he goes on down to verse 4, he says, but you're of God, little children, and have overcome them. I'm talking about the things that are in this world, the voices and the things out there that would seduce. Why? Because greater is he that's in you, the spirit within. I want you to be more conscious. I want myself to be more conscious of God in us than we've ever been in our lives going forward. Hallelujah. Next week, Lord willing, I'll share some things with you that'll help us be more sensitive to that and how we can be more effective. Okay? But that's next week. But notice verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth where? In you. Verse 27. The anointing which you have received of him. You remember Jesus said, I'm going to the Father. I'm going to pray that he'll send you another comforter. Not only will he be with you, he will be in you. Howbeit when he, John 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, not it, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but that what he hear, that what he shall hear, that's what he will speak. He will take the things that are of me, and he will show them unto you. The Holy Ghost is always going to be talking to you, witnessing to you, bringing Jesus to you. Not only who he is, but what he's done for you. That's why, listen, God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, they're always going to be honoring and bringing and glorifying Jesus. God said, this is my beloved Son, and who I am well pleased. When Peter, James, and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, hear him. Listen to him. You know, Peter got all caught up when he saw Moses and Elijah. Hey, let's build us a tabernacle, praise God. And it's like the Lord said, shh, hush. This is the one you need to be listening to. This is the one that you need to focus on it and be listening to. You remember I said he is the Word? He's the living Word. And the written Word shows us who he is. The Spirit of God living on the inside of us. The Spirit and the Word agree. And they're going to always be revealing to us who Jesus is and what he is and what he's done. God in divers manners and sundry times, he spake unto the fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he is speaking to us by his Son. But you're not going to know the Son, and you're not going to know the things of him without listening to your spirit and listening to the Holy Ghost on the inside of you and getting your mind renewed with the Word of God. Because Jesus said the ministry of the Spirit of God is he's going to take the things of Jesus and he's going to show you. He's going to guide you in all truth. What is truth? The Word is truth. John 17, 17. But you're going to have to be listening down in your spirit, man, in your heart. And we'll have to get out of our head. Because a lot of times thoughts are coming so much that we're going to have to get quiet and we're going to have to rightly on purpose say, okay, thoughts, you're going to have to stay over here just a minute. I've got to get with God, pray, meditate, and listen on the inside of me. And even if thoughts, I'm going to listen. I'm going to rightly divide what's going on in my mind, glory to God. And I'm going to listen to my heart. I'm going to go feed on the Word of God and read the Bible and read scriptures. Pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Spirit. We'll talk about that more next week. That's a key. But we'll get into that next week. Praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. Hallelujah. But listen to me. You have an anointing. You don't need for anybody to try to guide you. Where it says teach you, it means really literally guide you. Because Jesus gave gifts unto men. Jesus ordained the teacher, the pastor, the evangelist, the apostle, and the prophet. We need all the fivefold ministry gifts in the body of Christ so that we can be equipped, we can be perfected, we can all come to the knowledge of the Son of God. It's part of our spiritual growth, and it's something that the head of the church instituted and gave to men. He's not talking about you can't be taught like pastor teaching. He's talking about when you being in this world, me being in this world, and there's things out there, there's things around us right now. You've got something on the inside of you that's of him. And it will teach you. It will witness in you. And you don't need to be listening first or trying to get somebody else's opinion or see what the opinion is on social media. You need to be listening to what on the inside of you. You need to go to the Bible. What does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? And then get into your spirit and listen to your spirit man. Because your spirit knows things. And the Spirit of God knows all things, even deep things, things that eye has not seen nor ear heard. And he lives in your spirit. And what you're picking up on your spirit, what your spirit is knowing, what your spirit is sensing, the Holy Spirit's either going to go, yes, that's right, or uh-uh. See, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. In other words, Your spirit man is what God is going to use. Guys, I can't emphasize this enough to us. I got chicken skin right now, and I mean it. I cannot emphasize this enough. I'm talking about to myself. I know this in my spirit. I know this is of God, and I know this is so important where we are right now. It's always been important, my brother and sister. John even said, even back then, that the spirit of Antichrist is in the world. But specifically, the Holy Ghost, knowing the end from the beginning, knowing all things, yea, the deep things of God, inspired these men to write things that pertain to us even now. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, my. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. We've not received the spirit of adoption, again, to fear, that would bring people into bondage. No. We've received the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. You know, the Holy Spirit is going to lead you and talk to you daily about who you are in Him, your sonship. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And He's also going to cause us to just go from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Let me close it up with this. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There's many things I could say. And this is the thing about being a pastor. You don't have to cover everything in a service. And I don't even have to cover everything in a series. We will come back to these things even in the future, as the Spirit of God brings these things to our remembrance and gives utterance. Notice right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Now, listen, there's a lot of things we could talk about right here as far as him being a minister and preaching under the inspiration of the Spirit. But Paul said, my speech and my preaching. Paul would teach and minister and preach, but a lot of times he'd also sit and he would talk with people. He became before great men. God, the Lord Jesus ordained him to appear before kings and other people. He would go in synagogues and he would talk with people. He would go in houses and talk and minister. Yeah, he would minister and preach and teach, but he would also talk to people and minister to people. Go with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Now, he's writing this to the church at Colossae, which applies to us also. Hallelujah. Notice here in verse 2, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, he says, "With all, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Somebody says, yeah, but that is Paul. Colossians chapter 4, down to verse 2. My wife's waving at me back there. Hey, sweet. Verse 2, Colossians 4, 2 says, "Continue in prayer." You there? Okay. Hallelujah. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. And he said, hey, I pray that God would open up a door of utterance, that we'd be able to speak the mystery of Christ and that he'd make it manifest as he ought to speak. Somebody says, yeah, but that's Paul preaching the word. Well, let's keep reading. "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without." Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to the church, to believers. "Redeeming the time." I'm going to tell you right now, there's some time that God can redeem time. Listen to this, verse 6. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man." You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible says God has given us His Spirit that we may know. The Holy Ghost on the inside of us is on the inside of us so that we can know certain things. Things that God gives us. The things that are freely given to us of God. And one of the things that God gives us is speech that is seasoned with grace and with salt. In other words, he not only gives Paul utterance to minister the gospel, he gives you and me utterance that is inspired by his Spirit. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 15. I mentioned this earlier, but I want your eyes to look on it. Proverbs chapter 15. Let's look at verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word. Didn't say a paragraph. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? When you are allowing the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost in you, to give you utterance, whether it's ministering to somebody who's in need, whether it's a situation where you're at in the marketplace and there's a conversation that comes up, and yet it can involve many things. It may not even be involved with the gospel, but God may want you in another place or position in that company because there's things that eye has not seen nor ear heard that's not even entered your thought realm yet, and things that you don't know. But you know, I said earlier, because he knows the future. He wants you positioned. He wants you in a place where you can have influence, and he will use you, and yet you could be sitting in a business meeting, a conversation with somebody, and we're not even talking about the gospel. Just all of a sudden, he gives you something. He seasons your speech with his anointing and with his grace and with his salt, that when you make a statement, you can speak a word in that meeting. You may have been sitting there quiet all for an hour and a half and everybody else is talking, and yet you speak something or you say something, and the powers that be that's sitting there, it has effect and influence on their heart. And then within 2 months, 2 weeks, or a year or two, you find yourself in another position because of that word that was spoken. And God has positioned you now because you were being influenced by the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Guys, listen, we know how important it is to have utterance to share the gospel with people and be led by the Spirit to minister to people when they're hurting or when they're sick or when they've got situations going on in their life. But this thing is big. It's bigger. It's greater. I'm talking about God in you. Christ redeemed you from the curse of the law, being made a curse for you. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on you and me through Jesus Christ, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. God would live in you now. God who knows all things, the Spirit of God, who knows all the things of God, even the deep things of God. God does not withhold anything back from the Holy Ghost. They're one. Knows your future. Knows the plan and purposes that he has for you. Knows how he can use you. And you can be an ambassador of heaven itself in a moment and speak a word that's under the influence of that unction and that anointing on the inside of you. And you'll know what to say. You remember Jesus told his disciples, he said, you'll be delivered up in synagogues and you'll be brought before men. And there'll be different situations and circumstances you'll find yourself in. He said, but don't you fear or be concerned. You'll find this in the Gospels, in Matthew and Luke. He said, but don't you worry or be concerned, or don't you be afraid, because the Spirit of God will give you what you need to say at that moment. I'm telling you, we are where we are today. And if there's ever a time where we need to be more conscious of the Spirit of God on the inside of us, it's today. Hallelujah. You'll find that in Luke 12, 12 and Matthew 10, 20, where Jesus told that to the disciples. For time's sake, we can't go there. Anointed words, Spirit-inspired words. Proverbs 12, 18 says, they're that words are like the, and the tongue is like the piercings of the sword, like a sword. But he said, the tongue of the wise is health. Do you know even God, the Holy Ghost, if you'll listen to him and you'll acknowledge him, he'll have you say things even over your body and over your family and over your children. He'll give you unction where you can speak and say things by his Spirit that's inspired by him because you acknowledge him and you listen to him. And then once you listen, sometimes we speak too quick and we pray too quick. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes we pray too quick and we speak too quick. Now, sometimes we don't have the luxury when a situation comes up. We can't wait. I mean, there's emergency situations. You have to deal with things and you have to trust God. Just like Jesus said, don't you be afraid or worry when you're in a situation you find yourself in. The Spirit of God will give you what you need to say at that moment. But sometimes, my point is, people are not... If we'll pray about it and we'll really acknowledge God in it and listen and just sort of separate ourselves a little bit from the thoughts and everything around us, the senses and just our own thoughts sometimes, and we'll just acknowledge God and wait on the Lord and listen on the inside, the Spirit of God will quicken us. He'll bring things to us, and then we can speak them. Even over our lives, even our own bodies. There's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, what about this? What about this that's going on? I've got this situation going. Lord, I come to you. Now, listen, he'll guide you in the Scriptures. He'll quicken promises to you. And you can hold fast to that. He'll speak things to you, not only Scriptures, but he'll speak things to you in line with the Word, or he'll quicken a Scripture to you. Listen, that's a rhema word. Faith comes to you at that moment when he does that. That's something you can hold fast to. But it's going to be on the inside. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's enough. That's enough for today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's just lift our hands here just a moment. Father, we thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. You know, we're in here and we're believers. I mean, we know everybody's in our, this is our church family. We're all born again, us here, that's in our sanctuary right now. But if for some reason, I just sense this in my spirit, if you're watching and you cannot remember a time, I'm not talking about a specific day or a time on the clock, but in your heart, you can't remember in your life a time where you asked Jesus into your life and into your heart. I beg of you, I beseech you. He loves you. Listen, for the most part, I can tell you this from my own testimony. He's more than what I ever thought he was or what anybody ever told me. And I thought that I would have to give up and my life would be miserable as a believer. But oh, I'm telling you, there's so much more. God has purpose and plan for you. And it's not apart from him. It's with him. Paul said it like this: we are co-laborers together with the Lord. He wants to take you places that you can't get in your life on your own. First and foremost, heaven. You can't get there on your own. You can go to hell on your own, But you can't get to heaven on your own. He's the way and the truth and the life. It's like I said, no man can come to the Father. No man can have part of the heavenly and the kingdom of God apart from him. If you're watching me right now, just speak these words from your heart. Say, oh Lord, I surrender my heart to you. I ask you to come in my life and to make all things new in my life. I believe in my heart, Jesus, that you're the Son of God and that God sent you for me. I receive you as my Savior. I believe God raised you from the dead so that I could be justified and be made righteous in the sight of God. Thank you for coming in my life, saving me, cleansing me, and making me new. Fill me, Lord, with the Holy Ghost. Fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And if you prayed that prayer, please let somebody know. Go tell somebody. Say, listen, I was watching this crazy guy online, and something happened on the inside of me, and I gave my life to Jesus. Find a good word, church. Get into it. Acknowledge God about it. Talk to him about it. Pray and ask him. He'll lead you. Amen. He'll put you in the right company if you'll acknowledge him. You know, that's another thing. Most people just go and do things. Listen, we're to acknowledge God. We're to pray about where we go to church. Lord, listen to the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I speak life over every one of us. I speak health in the name of Jesus. I speak strength. Father, I thank you that your grace is upon us. Oh, I thank you for your Spirit that lives on the inside of us. And not only is he living on the inside of us, but he comes upon us and anoints us and equips us and graces us to go and do what we need to do. I thank you it'll be that way this week as we leave this place. I thank you for the grace and the anointing and the power of your Spirit. I thank you for ministering spirits. We dispatch in Jesus' name to minister for the heirs of salvation, our church family, and even those listening to us. In the name of Jesus, we commission you to go and cause the will of God and the purposes and plans of God for the people to be wrought and carried out in their lives. In Jesus' name. Oh, we take authority over sickness and disease. I curse sickness and disease right now in your body. And I release health and life. And I speak right now, the Spirit of God is quickening you, bringing life to your mortal flesh. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, I'm going to have to do this. Praise the Lord. Marion, the Holy Ghost wanted me to tell you this. Now, I know a few things in the natural. And so sometimes when you know a few things in the natural, you hesitate to say some things because you know that I may know a few things or Dana knows a few things. And so sometimes we think, well, they could be saying that because they know that. That's not what I'm talking about here. The Holy Ghost wanted me to tell you, he said, do not be concerned about your future. Don't even be concerned. Do not be troubled in heart or in mind or in spirit. For the things that are ahead of you are good. And he's taking care of you. You have been faithful. And you have a faithful heart. And your heart is toward him. And he honors that in your life. And he has things. Everything is taken care of for you. All you have to do is continue to acknowledge him, he said. Just keep acknowledging him in your heart, step by step. For your steps are ordered of the Lord. And don't be concerned if you've missed it or if I do fall. No, he holds you with his hand. And you will fulfill and you will run the race that he has set before you. Do not be concerned and do not fear or be troubled in heart or in mind or in spirit. That's what he would say to you. It's good. I'm telling you, the stuff ahead of you, don't you? It's good for you. It's good for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, what are you doing? I'm listening. That's what I'm doing. I'm listening. I got to make sure the coast is clear. Everything's good. Because sometimes God will, you yield yourself to things like this, and you'll find this in your own life. Oh, there's so much we can get into. Listen, we can get into this even in worship, under the teaching of praise and worship. The more you start yielding to things and exercising your heart and things, things open up to you. There's a lot of things. Oh, Lord, there's a lot of things. We don't have time. But I just want to make sure, because, I want to the Holy Ghost to have freedom and liberty. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Papa, just lift your hands. Just lift your hands up. And I'm point at you now, but I'm going to put my hand down and I'm going to point back at you again. And I'm going to say some things to you. And the words that I speak, because I believe they're inspired of Him, and they are, will bring spirit and life to you. In the name of Jesus, by the Holy Ghost, I speak and release the spirit of might and strength even into your inner man that bolsters and energizes your spirit man and quickens you with a strength, a heavenly divine strength that sustains you and causes you to rise above anything that would try to drain you, distract you, interfere with you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And even this strength and might in your inner man will infuse and energize your mortal body in the days to come. In the name of Jesus. And you'll find a newfound strength even in your physical body. But it's because of what is being released and spoken this day, even released and quickened in your spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, there will be a wisdom, and there will be an unction, and there will be a knowing in the days ahead for the things that you have dominion and authority over, even in your sphere of influence. You'll be quickened and led by the Holy Ghost. And there won't be no wondering or questioning. It'll be so clear to you. And you'll know what to say and not to say. You'll know what to do and not to do. Because of the anointing of God that's being released into you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Stand to your feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's some more things I believe in my spirit, but it's not the time now. But let me say something to you. I've always found this out in a service. Even though God may call people out and minister something to them specifically, listen, the Bible tells us don't covet. Now, we desire and covet spiritual things in our services, but we don't covet or envy when God's doing something for somebody. The Bible says, no, the Lord is our helper. God's not a respecter of persons. And I found out, listen, because He's not a respecter of person, even when He ministers to somebody else, I've said, Lord, I'll take some of that myself, praise God. Because He's not a respecter of person. You've got a scripture that you can lay hold on faith and receive, praise God, and look to Him. He'll supply you. Amen. Well, glory to God. That's all today. What we got, Wednesday night, 7:00? We'll be back here, right?